This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome to our continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh. It is day number 17 of continuing coverage in the courtroom here on the 16th of February, 2023. Without further ado, let's take you to the courtroom for our first segment.
Good morning. Mr. Griffin?
Before we bring the jury in, I would like to put on the record the basis of my objection to the redirect of Agent Owens regarding the roadside shooting. Understanding the court's ruling was that I opened the door to that based on my cross-examination. This is the first case I've had the benefit of being able to go back to YouTube and see exactly what was asked on direct and what was asked on cross. I have typed it out. You know, it's very brief. On direct examination, Mr. Meadows asked Agent Owens, question, at some point in 2021, in the fall, did a financial investigation begin at Alex Murdaugh? His answer was, yes, sir. Question, would it be fair to say that the investigations overlapped with each other? Answer, it did. Question, would it be fair to say that the two investigations fed off each other? The answer is, yes, they did. From the information I was learning from the financial investigation, it gave me additional people to consider and to look at Mr. Murdaugh as a reason why or why not. The next question, were the individuals in the finance investigation that you also interviewed in this investigation? He said, yes, I did. Then the question, did you learn information from the grand jury testimony? He says, yes, I did. Then the question, did you follow up on that information? He said, yes, I did. That was elicited on direct examination. My cross-examination, I began on this topic. You also testified that in the fall of 2021, there started up a financial investigation. Yes. You said it fed off and overlapped with the murder investigation. Yes. You developed information that Alex was stealing money to support a drug addiction. Yes, that was reported. Question, you learned that Alex was paying up to $50,000 a week to buy drugs. Yes, that is what was reported. You learned that Alex was buying from Curtis Eddie Smith. Yes. You learned that Eddie was buying from the Sand Hill Drug Gang. Yes. You learned that Eddie owed the Sand Hill Drug Gang a lot of money. Yes, but they were not worried about getting their money because it was Murdaugh. Question, did you ever conduct a cell phone analysis of the Sand Hill drug dealer's cell phones to see if they were at Moselle on June the 8th? Answer, no, because in my experience, they use burner phones. Question, you never got DNA from them to cross-check against the unknown DNA on Maggie's fingernails? Answer, no. Question, you never put them in the investigative circle, did you? Answer, my understanding is that investigation is continuing and is being conducted by the DEA. And from that, Your Honor, there were no questions related to the roadside shooting, no questions related to whether Alex lied to the police in connection with the roadside shooting. It was all about him stealing money from clients to support his drug addiction, which is evidence that was already in the case. Your Honor, I sent the court via email earlier today, the case of State v. Hayward, 426 SC 630, which is a 2019 case where the Supreme Court reversed Judge Young on an opening the door theory.
Supreme Court reversed the Court of Appeals.
Excuse me, the Supreme Court reversed the Court of, sure.
Yes, sir.
The defendant was convicted. It went. The Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals affirmed, and the Supreme Court reversed the Court of Appeals. That's right.
Yes.
And vacated the conviction based upon the introduction of propensity evidence, 404B, 404 evidence, on the theory of opening the door. And in that opinion, Justice Hearn is very specific to state that the courts have to be very careful and very wary of thinly veiled attempts to show propensity while by way of the open door doctrine, and that the testimony and response must be proportional and confined to the topics to which counsel had opened the door. And again, I go back, we did not open the door to any roadside shooting, any insurance fraud, anything with regard to Alex lying to the police. And so that was the basis. I just objected, so I want to put that in the record. Today, they intend to present a full panoply of evidence on the roadside shooting. And Your Honor, we would oppose that.
What do you mean a full panoply?
Well, they've asked to, that they're gonna My understanding is they're putting up Agent Kelly to talk about his investigation of the roadside shooting. We got a request this morning for them to play the hospital videotape of Alec in the Savannah Hospital, which is over an hour, where he's being interviewed by SLED agents, and he's meeting with a sketch artist to draw up a sketch of the roadside shooter. And that they plan to introduce that evidence. They plan to introduce, as we understand it, follow-up evidence of when Alec gets to detox in Atlanta, when he calls back with Mr. Harpootlian and I and gives a full statement about the roadside shooting and about how he had lied to them previously, how he was sorry.
Is that the same video or
two separate. I mean, second is just an audio tape. But Your Honor, I just go back to State v. Hayward where the court says testimony and response must be proportional and confined to the topics which counsel has opened the door. And so they intend to spend 3 hours of testimony here today, and it's not proportional, and it's not related to the topic that for which the court, I believe, should find that. And I don't think I opened any door because I think the evidence was already in the case.
All right.
And it was in response to direct. It wasn't something I brought up.
May it please the court, Your Honor. To go back, obviously, we had this issue, and we addressed it yesterday morning.
This time we're dealing with the issue of the court's the exception or statement for the record that Mr. Griffin wanted to make concerning the court's ruling yesterday. We're not dealing with any anticipated testimony today at this time. I'm not ruling based on what, I've already ruled, but I'm entertaining these comments for the record regarding yesterday's ruling. So go ahead.
I think, Your Honor, if you listen, obviously, to the excerpts that Mr. Griffin just read, and you put that in the context of everything that had developed, starting with Marion Proctor, that the door is more than opened, and the state's intent in that regard is to fully respond to and flesh out the very examination.
The state's intent in that regard, we're talking about yesterday's ruling, so we can close the door on that.
Sure.
Do you have anything else to say about the court's ruling yesterday?
No, other than the examination, the redirect examination clearly was in response to and appropriate opening the door after that examination. And that's, I think that, Your Honor's ruling was appropriate in that regard. And I think that, again, that has opened the door to exploration of those issues.
Concerning the court's ruling yesterday and also State v. Hayward, Mr. Owens, in questioning Mr. Griffin and cross-examining Investigator Owen, got into this circle of interest that Alex is in the circle, then cross-examined the witness regarding, did you consider Eddie Smith to be in the circle? Did you consider some unknown gang members, whoever they might be, to be in this circle? Did you know that Alex was spending $50,000 per week supporting a drug habit, presumably through Eddie Smith, and that he owed money or he was indebted. So Mr. Griffin introduced the relationship between the defendant and Eddie Smith. The court conducted a pretrial a hearing outside the presence of the jury, addressed the issue, made it clear that the roadside shooting was a bridge too far. Then the defense decided to build a road over that bridge, decided to just go right there as if they could dance through fire without getting burned, scarred, or anything. The door was open, This is not the same as the situation in State v. Hayward, where a co-defendant's, a cooperating co-defendant is being questioned about unrelated matters, totally unrelated to the case, and the Supreme Court felt presiding judge went too far in allowing evidence not proportional to what was open and which he already ruled should not have gone, should not be introduced. I find that what this court allowed on yesterday, it was proportional because it was in relation to evidence elicited not by the state, but by the defendant. And the state is entitled to explore this relationship with between the defendant and Eddie Smith. If the, and then we'll have further discussions at some point regarding this limitation of just randomly throwing out names of people, or suspicions and speculations regarding on the issue of third party guilt. But to the extent that the defense sought to introduce the relationship between the defendant and Eddie Smith, and then to seek to infer that Eddie Smith might have been or should be a suspect in the murder, then to prohibit the state from saying, well, if he's a if Eddie Smith should be a suspect, and Mr. Murdaugh, who at the outset engaged in his form of problem solving by telling the state what this case was all about and the murder was all about, meaning the boat crash, then later engaging what appears to be a conspiracy along with the person that the defense seeks to insinuate to be or should have been a suspect, the state is entitled to explore that. The extent to which the state should be entitled to explore that, you know, that's open for discussion today, but not based on the court's ruling yesterday. The court in the Hayward case did indicate that the court should be careful as the nature and extent to which these other matters should be allowed to go into, and I intend to do that. But the record is protected to the extent that Mr. Griffin went through YouTube and citing what his version of what he said yesterday, excluding the portion that's more relevant and important to the court's ruling. But the record speaks for itself on all of that, and the court's ruling stands as it was given on yesterday.
Your Honor, obviously we would accept your ruling, but
now we have a ruling, we have a for the record, now we have an exception to the ruling, and another comment. Go ahead.
So what I'd like to discuss now is what the state will be allowed to submit in support of this position. Now, clearly there is a taped statement by Mr. Murdaugh from a detox facility in Atlanta, which was initiated by Mr. Griffin and I. So certainly there's no objection to that. I mean, there could be, but no real objection to that. Secondly—
No objection to the statement.
Well, no objection to the statement pursuant to and conditioned by our previous objection.
Yes, sir.
To, I want to make the record clear. We're objecting to any of this.
Well, I understand. You've objected to everything throughout the trial. I understand.
Well, there's a couple of things we missed.
Right.
We'd like to rehear some of those, but Your Honor, so, but then, and again, Mr. Waters and I discussed last night after your ruling, a way perhaps, I know this is shocking, to expedite this process. For instance, there is a statement made to EMS, the statement they're wanting to get to, which is, you know, drive-by shooting, you know, all those sorts of things, which he later on admitted in the telephone conversation statement that was taken, was not true. We get that. He didn't need to be Mirandized on the side of the road by EMS. However, there are two recorded statements taken at the Savannah Hospital by Agent Kelly after he is, and we've got the medical records here if you want to look at them, but clearly has suffered a wound to his head, a fractured skull.
Well, we're suspect of that word clearly and clear. I mean, everything is in controversy.
I don't think this is in controversy.
Tell me what's clear again.
Bullet wound to the head, fractured skull, brain bleed. That's not contested. The medical records indicate medication that he was under while he was at the hospital. We would think there'd have to be a Jackson v. Denno hearing on that, those interviews, just under the issue of was he competent, a competency hearing. To do that, we would have to bring the physicians and the treating physicians from Savannah here to testify. And again, and I think Mr. Waters will concede, it was at 6, I emailed him and said, all good, what we talked about yesterday, and he came back a little while later and indicated that he'd like to put those in. Mr. Griffin and I, over a cup of coffee, said there's competency issues, and we informed him of that this morning. Nobody's playing gotcha here. So we don't believe those should come in without Your Honor being able to rule that he was competent, hear from the doctors, and I think we may have worked out a compromise on that. I just want to confirm that for the record. But what we have worked out is this. The statement that he would not have to bring the EMS people. There's a statement that they made. Agent Kelly can publish that statement without having them need to be here. There was a knife recovered at the scene. They don't have to bring, Kelly can identify that. There was a, what else?
Your Honor, so what we talked about yesterday, just to kind of wrap this up, was again, my intent to do this in a very expedited and focused fashion, not get into every detail or litigate that entire matter. And I suggested to the defense, and they agreed yesterday, that I could have Agent Kelly, who's the lead investigator on the side of the road, come up and essentially, in a very abbreviated fashion, walk through the case without the need to call the 911 operator or the ambulance driver or the roadside deputy or the DNA analyst or the person who found the knife and so forth and so on. And I plan to do that, again, in a very expedited fashion. I'm not talking about anything 3 hours or the like. We also discussed this morning that I do need to be able to relate to the jury, though, the defendant's claim, which I have argued to you is particularly relevant, that he was attacked by an unknown assailant on the side of the road when, in fact, he knew exactly who it was. He had actually arranged for it. And so our discussion that I thought we had an agreement on, I think we still do, is that Agent Kelly, there was an interview in the hospital on 9-4 and one on 9-6, and that I would have Agent Kelly just summarize and reiterate the defendant's claim about what happened on the side of the road, as well as the fact that he worked with a sketch artist and show that sketch picture, and then just move through it like that, and then we will play for the jury, which I think they just so they don't object to, or no additional objection, the telephone interview in which he ultimately admitted to law enforcement in the presence of his attorneys that it had been a lie.
Yes, sir.
That's the deal. But I feel a little more comfortable if we could just have, and I'm not trying to delay court, but this recording is 47 minutes long.
41.
Whatever. 40 plus. so many recordings, I'm confusing them. But 41 minutes long, could we take, if you could just, I've agreed to allow him to leave unless I see something reprehensible going on. Which for me is difficult to restrain myself from objecting, which would expedite it even more. But at 6:30 this morning, we were not in a position to discuss what Agent Kelly's, what happened at the hospital thing. I'd just like 5 or 10 minutes just to review that with him, and then I think we're on go. Although, just for the record, we're objecting to any of this. I don't want this kumbaya moment to be viewed as any waiver of our objections.
The only thing I just want to put on the record, again, is that in discussions with the defense counsel, moving expeditiously with Agent Kelly and without raising hearsay and that sort of thing and making us go through our paces has been a strategic decision by the defense has made.
Pursuant to I just want to make it clear, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I don't want any appellate court ever to look at this and say, well, you agreed to it. We're agreeing to this process pursuant to Your Honor's ruling this morning.
I have not reviewed any of the evidence that you all are now referencing. So to the extent that you all have an agreement on moving forward with this evidence, considering the objections, I'm fine with taking 5-10 minutes if that will expedite things. I deal with what you all disagree on, not what you agree on.
We're going, if Your Honor, when you take this recess, we're going to take myself, Mr. Griffin, and maybe even Mr. Barber he seems busy, to a room where we can have some peace and quiet and have a discussion without being interrupted every 2 minutes.
All right. We'll be in recess then for hopefully about 10 minutes.
All right. Remain in order.
That wraps up segment number one of continuing coverage in the trial of Alec Murtaugh. There is much more to come for you here on the 16th of February, 2023, as we continue with day 17 of courtroom coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.